Cane toads are one of Australia's biggest pests, and over the decades, plenty of time and money has been spent trying to stop their spread. Last week here on Breakfast, we told you about the recommendation from a parliamentary inquiry for a new waterless barrier in the Pilbara in WA. And the idea is to cut off water sources for the toads in a bid to eradicate them from that area. Well, some local government groups claim a waterless barrier won't work so well. But one of the ecologists behind this idea says it's our best shot to stop the cane toad march. Sarah White takes a look.
In 1935, cane toads were introduced into Australia, creating one of the nation's worst ecological tragedies, as native species devoured the toads, causing them to quickly die from the poison. Since then, environmentalists and scientists have been desperately trying to eradicate the pests that continue to spread across the country. In 2005, one Northern Territory MP even suggested that locals arm themselves with a cricket bat or golf club and turn the eradication of cane toads into a new blood sport, while musician Tim Finn dedicated a song to the toads. Cane toads coming. But now the problem of cane toads has reached Parliament House, and it's at the centre of a new parliamentary inquiry report that has looked at practical ways to reduce the species. One proposal is to create waterless barriers between Broome and Port Hedland in Western Australia so that the cane toads will eventually die from dehydration. Associate Professor Ben Phillips is an ecology and evolution expert from the University of Melbourne. He's one of the architects behind the waterless barriers.
Toads have been spreading across northern Australia for the last 80 years, and everything we've ever tried to do to stop them has failed thus far. They're halfway through the Kimberley, and they're spreading through the Kimberley at around about 50 kilometres a year, which is a tragedy unfolding of quite awful proportions. When they get to Broome, there's all of a sudden they're wedged between the Great Sandy Desert and the Indian Ocean, and there's only a very narrow corridor of country through which they'll be able to move along the coast there. And the only reason they'll be able to move along that coastline is because of artificial water bodies that are, or water points that are brought up by pastoralists to water their cattle. So the proposal is that we actually upgrade this infrastructure, this pastoral infrastructure, to make it such that cattle can still access it, but toads can't. And we do that across a section of country that's about 70 kilometres wide. It works out to be about 100 of these water points that need upgrading. The toads can't access them in the dry season. And as a consequence, the toad invasion stops.
Associate Professor Ben Phillips says this waterless barrier would cost about $100,000 a year to upgrade the water stations.
$100,000 would need to come from government or philanthropic support at the end of the day. Certainly from a government perspective, it's not a large amount of money. And as I said, it's a very very effective expenditure of conservation dollars in this particular case.
He says the waterless barrier team of academics and environmentalists are now starting to have conversations with station owners and Aboriginal leaders to get the project off the ground.
We're very much of the opinion that this should be a community-driven exercise. So we are basically providing information to the Indigenous owners of the area and the pastoralists, and we're asking them to just have a conversation to work out the best way forward. But there's certainly, the size of the stations out in that part of the world, they're quite large. It would only take, in some cases, just a single pastoralist to sign on to this idea, have a lot of their water infrastructure upgrades paid for and maintained. And that single property alone could actually halt the toad invasion.
RN Breakfast has spoken with Lee Scott Virtue, the president of the Kimberley Toad Busters, and she's sceptical of the plan.
They'd be required to raise all of their water troughs so that toads couldn't get into them, replace their turkey nests and dams with large tanks. So quite expensive and quite a huge task to ask station owners.
Lee Scott Virtue doesn't believe a waterless barrier could stop the cane toad march in the Pilbara region.
We've talked a lot, with our committee over this. We suspect and hope that it might hold them for a while. The reality, unfortunately, is that, and we've certainly witnessed this with our own research on Nicholson Station, which is semi-desert country, the toads tend to hibernate. They're very successful in hibernating in almost anything, and then they just wait for a big wet. And as soon as you get, that large wet season, then they move, and they move very quickly.
But Associate Professor Ben Phillips is more hopeful about the waterless barriers.
I've actually been personally responsible for almost all of the published scientific research on toad movements. So I know this research very well. And so I know that it's not possible for them to move across the desert. I know the rates that they can move, and they do mostly only move in the wet season, because otherwise they need to stay very close to water. With regard to cattle dung, it's true that you will see toads sitting on cattle dung, and I've no doubt that the community groups have seen that. The research shows that they can't actually rehydrate on the cattle dung. They're just sitting on it, scooping up insects that are attracted to it.
A report from the House Standing Committee on the Environment and Energy wants the federal government to play a stronger leadership role when it comes to funding strategies, while it also calls on states and territories to come up with better coordinated efforts to stop the spread of the cane toads.
That sound. Sarah White reporting. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 9 minutes to 7.